On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. All right, I try not to have repeat guests, so soon all the time, but I had to get this guy back on here just 2 weeks later because David Teal from the Virginia Pilot joins me today. Of course, a lot of you have already read his exclusive story inside UVA basketball with Ryan Odom, his staff, and team. David, you get to spend a day with Ryan Odom and his staff as they went through these summer workouts. Just first of all, what was that experience like? And just kind of getting to see kind of the first peek behind the scenes that we've really heard, because we haven't heard from Ryan Odom, at least locally, since his introductory press conference. So as they're getting going now and the majority of the roster there, what was it like kind of seeing these guys in action?
Well, it was fascinating, and I thank Ryan and his staff for extending me the access. It's something Ryan and I talked about when we met down at the ACC meetings in May, when I talked to him about the roster and the new players coming on board. And so we set a date, and I went up. And, from his time at VCU, I know most of the staff, if not the entire staff. And I think there's a comfort level there. And then when you throw in the alumni guests that they had, I am of a particular vintage.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah, where I covered all these guys. There's Ricky Stokes, and there's Jeff Jones, and there's Dave Odom. There's Ralph. And it was fascinating. And then, then we saw Rick Carlisle, and the day before Mike D'Antoni was in, and I didn't realize this. I asked somebody, I said, what's the connection? Why was D'Antoni here? They said, oh, he was a teammate in Italy of Wally Walker's. And of course, Wally is an executive deputy athletic director to Carl Williams and a basketball legend in Charlottesville.
Yeah, it's the amount of connections. It must have been like kind of a trip down memory lane seeing all these guys. Not where they get to play, obviously at U-Haul, but in JPJ, seeing that group together. I do want to say, we've had you on before to talk about Ryan, and kind of y'all have known each other for a long time now, but also getting to know his staff. We've run into each other at VCU basketball games before. And so what's it like kind of seeing this staff that you've gotten to know kind of in a new environment now?
Well, it's interesting to me, Preston, and Chris Pollard made this observation. I thought it was very astute. At his introductory press conference as UVA's baseball coach, that given these crazy calendars that the college sports leadership have saddled these coaches with, the prospect of trying to simultaneously acquire a roster and hire a staff, that would be impossible. So the fact that Chris Pollard was able to bring his entire staff with him from Duke, and similarly, Ryan brought essentially his entire staff from VCU to, as Carla Williams has said often, hit the ground, not running, sprinting, because the portal is open and you have to be out there and your recruiting team needs to be in place. So I think that's a testament to Ryan and the trust that he has built with his staff, the success they've had. And frankly, Preston, it's something he witnessed as a kid. I mean, he grew up watching Terry Holland interact with Dave Odom and Jim Larrañaga and Craig Littlepage. And that was more than a staff. That was a family. And that's the environment I think Ryan has tried to create. And from all reports thus far, he's done it quite successfully at all his stops. You know, most of these folks have followed him not once, but multiple times, and often cross country and back. You know, Matt Henry was telling me all kinds of family stories about how, you know, when he had to tell his wife, honey, I think we're going to move to Logan, Utah. And, you know, they just moved to Baltimore, Maryland, and now they're going to Logan, and then 2 years later they're coming to Richmond, and now to Charlottesville. And the fact, again, similar to Tony Bennett, who hired, you know, a sitting head coach in Ron Sanchez from Liberty as his associate head coach, Ryan brings Griff Aldridge back into the fold from Longwood.
I am always amazed at the stories of coaches and their families and moving to, places they've never even heard of and couldn't even point to on a map. It reminds me, it's very reflective of kind of our job and our career in the media and the different places it takes us. I mean, I would have never imagined going and living in Augusta, Georgia. I had no connections or ties to Georgia, but that's similar to like these coaches' families. But yeah, back to your point about Chris Pollard, that was something that struck me too that he said in that press conference because it makes sense. It makes complete sense that like in this day and age, like you got to hit the ground sprinting, like Carla Williams said. And, for all intents and purposes, Chris Pollard and his staff have done that, and Ryan Odom and his staff did that as well when the portal happened. A lot of people are, wondering, oh, like, could you get, go out and hire this person, or even, they're still wondering about, the general manager position. They were like, let's just hunker down and get this roster figured out. Then we'll worry about new staff and everything. But, it's easier to do when you have that in staff already incumbent in there. And obviously Griff was someone that he's worked with before, and they have a friendship that dates back, decades. So it was kind of easier for this staff to kind of get going early.
Yeah, teammates in Hampton, Sydney. I mean, they are tight as ticks, and the families are close. And you can tell, and Griff knows Ryan, and Ryan knows Griff. And since Griff has been a head coach, I think he will serve that role, because every head coach needs someone to tell him, no, you're
Ha
wrong on this. We need to do it this way. And when that comes from someone you trust, like Ryan clearly does Griff Aldridge, I think it resonates a little more.
We mentioned it already, but let's talk about just the infusion of alumni into the summer workouts that we've seen, last week. Obviously, I think the big surprise, I think it was surprising for a lot of people, was Rick Carlisle just a few days after
Fresh off the phone.
fresh off the NBA Finals with the Indiana Pacers. And, just what a run that Pacers team had. It was really enjoy, like, it was, really fun to watch and see that team play, kind of this. You don't get a lot of underdog stories in the NBA, but that's kind of what that Indiana Pacers team was. But he got to speak to the team after practice. That video obviously went around social media, so I think Rick Carlisle's presence was big there. What did you kind of hear from, people? And I know you talked to Devin Tillis about, Rick Carlisle, but just kind of his presence of being around practice. And it seems like just kind of more of a presence around UVA. I know his daughter is at UVA, so that helps a little bit.
Yes, in
But
a big way.
it seems like he's been more active in the program in recent years.
Yes. And in fact, Preston, I believe you were there for, were you there for Coach Holland's memorial service
Yes. Yeah.
at JPJ, and Rick played the piano. And he's a very accomplished musician. But more to your point, you know, Devin Tillis, I asked him, I said, what was your reaction when you saw, he goes, wait a second, is that Rick Carlisle? And then you could tell they start doing the math in their heads, going, wait a second, they lost game seven on Sunday, today, Monday. You know, 3 days later, he's at UVA. And as Tillis said, to him, that spoke to the appeal of UVA basketball and the tradition that it has and what it means to these former players. And that's what Ryan is very intentionally trying to show the new generation, and he wants to bring everyone back in the fold. And it's not just the Holland era, to which he, Ryan Odom, will forever be linked because that's who he grew up with. He wants everyone to be welcome, and to the point where I think it was 2 weeks ago, they had an alumni Zoom, and there were more than 70 players on it, including Jason Willifer, who's no longer on the staff and is now at Georgetown. And no hard feelings to his alma. Jason is thrilled that Ryan Odom is there. I mean, they're good friends. And Ryan Odom worked for Jeff Jones at American, and Jeff was at practice the other day. But yeah, I talked to Matt Henry, and one of Ryan's assistants, and he said he was driving home that night from practice, calling recruits and their parents and saying, "Guess who was at practice today?"
It's
No,
a bit,
it's a selling point, man.
yeah, it's a big recruit because, especially because of what his team just did in the NBA, and just to see like he's very prevalent and like people know about Rick Carlisle right now in this. And not that they haven't always. I mean, he won an NBA championship already with the Dallas Mavericks, but he's very much in the spotlight right now because of what that team just did in the NBA Finals. And I heard, I listened to a lot of NBA podcasts, and a lot of people were kind of saying like, we might get 10 years down the line or 20 years and like remember this finals more for who lost the finals than who won it, just because of the story that the Indiana Pacers team had this year. And obviously Rick Carlisle has a lot to do with that. I do want to talk about him and Mike D'Antoni a little bit more later, but you mentioned some of the other names: Ralph Sampson, Wally Walker, Jeff Jones, Ricky Stokes, John Crotty, Dave Odom. Obviously, Ryan's dad was there, Ann Holland, Terry
Yep.
Holland's wife. They were all in attendance. It just like what is Ryan Odom hoping? Kind of that amount of alumni presence, kind of early on in the tenure, kind of helps do for this program.
As Coach Odom explained to me as early as the spring meetings in May, he said, "Mission one this summer for Virginia basketball is to connect this current team with one another and also with the university and the basketball program's past. It's all about connections and they're all intertwined." But that is what he views as his primary task. And I thought one of the most fascinating moments of my time up there on Thursday was I was sitting in a conference room with Matt Henry, who's worked with Ryan now at four spots at UMBC, Utah State, VCU, and Virginia. And he said he cannot imagine anyone who is better than Ryan Odom at connecting a group of young men and getting them to be vulnerable in front of one another and to reveal their thoughts and their emotions, be they about basketball or otherwise. And he said it's not heavy-handed and it's all very subtle. And they're reading a book together, Legacy, about the All Blacks and how that New Zealand rugby team kind of reestablished its winning culture, and they've done that. They've read that book at previous stops in Coach Odom's professional journey. And I just found that really interesting that Henry had made that observation and that he thinks that is a really strong suit of Ryan's as a coach.
Well, it's interesting because nowadays, what's the biggest complaint among fans is that you don't have enough time to really get to know a roster. You don't really like, there's people right now that couldn't name, more than a couple players on the UVA roster just because, there's only three guys coming back that were on the last year's team. And so it's interesting, in such a short time, because even some of them, I think five are grad transfers or seniors. So they're only going to be there for 1 year. So it's a short time anyway, but to see
Yep.
that you're trying to establish that connection to the university in such a short time. It's interesting in this new age because that's not really a priority at a lot of places, I feel like.
No, and you have to remember, Preston, as transactional as this era is, and no one denies it, including Ryan Odom and his staff. They get it, but they desperately want to keep that relational component as well. And that again speaks to connecting to the university and to one another. When they gathered on June 16th, none of those players has ever played a college basketball game for Ryan Odom. And oh, by the way, perhaps more striking, none of those players has ever played in a college game with one another. You think there's some connecting that needs to happen? I mean, on and off the floor, this has to be very accelerated because, as you mentioned, there are, for lack of better description, a lot of short timers on this roster. And I forget which assistant coach mentioned this to me. I don't know if it was Griff or Matt Henry, but he said the staff is acutely aware that this team has 10 months. That's it. And then they'll not start over, but build anew.
Yeah, it's every year's a new team. That's yeah, you've heard players talk about that. It was an interview with Con Knipl I was listening to, and he was saying that even though if he wanted to return to Duke, he knew that that team wasn't going to be back. So like, it's just this is the new age of college athletics. Like, even if you wanted to stay in a place, like the next year it's going to be a new team, and that's the true, no matter kind of where you go, it's going to be a whole new dynamic and everything. Real quick, because that's a huge topic that I want to talk about. But we talk about all the alumni. We talk about the Holland era and, kind of going back to that time. I know some people were disappointed when,
Sure.
Kyle Guy, Isaiah Wilkins, Chase Coleman, who I just saw, got a new job as assistant coach at Navy. So that's great for him. A lot of people were disappointed in alumni and players too, not just fans, that there wasn't a tie to the Tony Bennett era. There is with Ethan Saliba and Mike Curtis. They've been there for a long time. But that was a disappointment. It was interesting you brought up the Zoom call because that's something that Ryan Odom had talked about wanting to do. So it was good, they got all those people together. But, I actually got off the phone the other day with a former UVA player, and he was saying, it's still weird. It's they're trying to kind of navigate it themselves emotionally, kind of how to feel about this new era, because obviously for the last, 15 years or so, it has been Tony Bennett's program, and he's kind of brought that back. And a lot of what I've heard too is, Tony did a great job with the alumni as well, and kind of keeping them around. But what have you talked to Ryan at all just about how do you kind of blend the Tony Bennett era with your obvious connections to the Holland era and so much of other UVA basketball history?
I have talked to him about it, and as he phrased it, he's intrinsically linked to the Bennett era as well because of what happened in 2018. And they'll always have that connection. And then, trust me on this, Preston, no one was happier for Tony Bennett in 2019 than Ryan Odom because he so respected how Coach Bennett comported himself and how the Cavaliers comported themselves in the aftermath of that loss. Just in such a gracious way, and as it turned out, in such an admirable way with the most redemptive national championship we've ever seen the following season. And I get it. Some folks are disappointed that he didn't retain some of the staff. But Ryan needed his people. We talked about it. They needed to hit the ground sprinting. He didn't have time to coach his new coaches. He needed people who know how he wants things done and he could just tell them, go find me players. And you know what kind of player I'm looking for.
It's interesting. And I think it's going to be something that, is kind of gradual over time anyway,
Sure.
because, this, 15 years is a long time, especially in college athletics these days, where you may not. I mean, who's the longest tenured coach in the ACC right now?
Brad Brownell.
Brad Brunell. That doesn't, he hasn't been there that long comparatively. So it's interesting just kind of how that transition goes. I want to take a quick break, but then the chemistry is a huge talking point, especially when I'm talking to some national people that are trying to, rate this Virginia team right now. One of the big concerns is chemistry. So let's take a quick break here on the Who's On podcast. We'll come back, talk about the new roster, and also talk about some of the play style, some of the stuff that you get to see in practice. So we'll be right back here on the Who's On podcast.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
All right, welcome back in. I've got David Teal fresh off of his day in the life of Virginia basketball and getting to see a little peek behind the curtains there at JPJ. David, we talked a lot about the chemistry, and one of the things that stood out to me in your interview with one of the assistant coaches, Matt Henry, is just the word, just the phrase, this is extreme for what they're doing right now. 10, soon to be 11, probably, new players in the program, seven transfers, three freshmen. It is a huge, melding, like you've mentioned before, like none of these players have ever played together, which is crazy because like three guys came back. So
Yeah,
it's
but between injuries and red shirts,
injuries, red shirts. Yeah, they
yeah,
still haven't played together. So
right.
it's a lot of melding going on here. And it was interesting in my I had Evan Miakawa, who does great works on college basketball analytics, on the podcast, and he was saying, he loves the roster on paper, but one thing his analytics have told him over time is that teams without, zero returning players are very tough to predict. We have the examples of Louisville and
Louisville.
Michigan, and Kentucky. Those are good examples from last year, but there's a lot of other examples that we don't talk about that didn't have that kind of success. So how are they going about getting this roster to kind of piece together, not just on the court, but off the court?
Well, off the court, I think, I mentioned they're reading the book, and then Bryce Crawford, one of the assistant coaches, he leads the discussion when they talk about the topics and lessons learned in the book. So that's one way. They've encouraged their, they went bowling. And I don't think the coaches were involved, but the group went bowling. And I know there's some golf planned. And it just to the coaches, it seems like that process is well underway of bonding off the court. On the court is probably more challenging, Preston, because the pieces aren't all there yet. The perimeter, for the most part, yes. But the three Europeans, if we want to count DeRitter, they're not here yet. And that's a problem. They need to get those guys here. And in the case of DeRitter, it may be a while.
Yeah. Well, and I've heard Mike Young talk about visa issues, and that's a big thing going on. And it's just ha so happens to be this off season where there's a mass influx of Europeans coming to college basketball now that now we have all these visa issues that are happening. I know you mentioned that that's a problem for Johan Grunloe right now, the German center. Martin Carreras, he's just playing with the French
Yes,
UAH group
with an
team.
age group team, and so I think he will probably be the first to arrive. Followed then by Grunlow would be my guess, and then DeRitter.
I guess, obviously it probably comes up. Is the feeling still that DeRitter, like, or Tyce DeRitter, we're just kind of waiting on this NCAA eligibility ruling? And from what I've talked to from people, around the program, it's more of just like a year's thing, not necessarily is he going to be eligible or not.
That is the hope. And at no point when I'm talking to the coaches does the name it doesn't even it is the name is not spoken. It's understood. There's winks, there's nods. It's this little fascinating tap dance that we play. But yeah, I think they're hoping, 4 to 6 weeks, they'll know for sure, and go from there.
It's wild, just kind of the timeline on this. But I love the way that you put it, just kind of the unspokenness of it around the building. Looking at you mentioned in there, Rick Carlisle kind of made a little side comment to Ryan Odom about, the players already appear to know one another. And you can kind of get a sense of that from some of their interactions on social media and stuff like that. Did it look like that to you? I just, you're only there for a little bit. You're kind of dropping in and parachuting in on this, but did it look like that to you?
It did. And I'm not a coach, so I don't have a professional eye. I'm just a longtime basketball observer and fan. But there was enthusiasm, and there were excitement. There was excitement when shots were made, and Dallin Hall penetrates and kicks out to Malik Thomas, who makes a three, and Hall is racing over to him, and they're high-fiving, and stuff like that matters, and the coaches notice it. And you kind of parenthetically mentioned earlier style of play. I think we all were struck, including the former players who were observing it, Ryan Odom's insistence on pace. And the day before, as Matt Henry told me, they sat around in a conference room with Mike D'Antoni for 2 hours and talked ball. And no one pushed pace in the NBA like Mike D'Antoni. And I don't think anyone expects, including Ryan Odom, for the Cavaliers to play at that tempo. But for a fan base accustomed to one of the slowest tempos in the sport, I think it's going to be quite the change.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Obviously, having Rick Carlisle and Mike D'Antoni there, we saw them in the video, were some of the more notable attendees at that practice. And you said that they got to talk to the coaching staff as well. It was interesting timing because I had just read an article on The Ringer from Howard Beck, talking about the Pacers bringing the 7 seconds or less to its final form this year, and then just so happened to see Mike D'Antoni and Rick Carlisle at Virginia's practice. It makes your mind start to wonder, what are they expecting? And you got to see a little bit, what are they expecting from just the pace of this Virginia offense? And it seems like a much more modern, new age style that we're seeing kind of take over, different parts of college basketball and also the professional level.
Well, it was interesting to me. The most compelling drill and the most fun to watch was there would just be, it was five on none. There'd be five guys rotating on and off the floor, and Coach Odom would shoot a layup. Whoever was closer to, you got the ball out of the net right away. You took it inbounds, deep outlet, and guys are fanning out beyond the arc, and they are pushing it. And go to the wing, and then someone sets screen, and it was fast paced back and forth. Then the next group switches in and out, and they kept some scores, and those who lost did some push-ups. And but another thing was striking. I don't remember Ryan Odom raising his voice. It was all, and it's a small sample size, and it's only summer. I'm sure that will change come the season, and maybe in the second half of a really tight game in the ACC. But on this particular day, very measured. He would go back and say, remember yesterday when we did this incorrectly? Well, we just did it again. So let's not have repeat mistakes. And I just thought the way he corrected and coached was very subtle and quite interesting.
Yeah. Well, I guess when you see this coaching staff in action, is there one guy bringing a lot of energy out there, or is it kind of they all follow kind of Odom's, I guess, personality, I guess?
No, I think they're all, now some of them are younger. I mean, Darius Theus looks like he can still go out there and guard you. And you know what, you remember well how
Yeah.
great a defender he was for Shaka at VCU. But yeah, the others will get out there, and Ryan's still, he may be 50, but he'd go out there and get in a stance a little bit and
Yeah.
show them the footwork that he wants on certain things and the angles. And he's all of them can get out there on the floor.
Yeah. I wonder too when we're seeing kind of, they're getting this new offense together and you're trying to build all these players together. Ryan Odom said that he didn't want to necessarily have a bunch of 1 year guys, but that's kind of how things are dictated to, this roster this year. With five of them seniors, and a lot of words like, great leader being thrown out there, guys like Malik Thomas, Dallin Hall, Devin Tillis, Jakari White, and so on. How much do you think that helps the transition of guys with a lot of years of experience playing college basketball on this roster?
I think it does. You're talking about guys literally with more than 100 college basketball games under their belts. That's important. May not be at the Power Five level, but that's okay. And you mentioned Malik Thomas was by far the most effective communicator on the floor. He is constantly talking, not trash talking, he's talking. And again, that's something coaches love. And I asked the staff afterwards, was he always like this? And they said, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Devin Tillis confirmed it. He said, oh yeah. And Tillis said, that's not me. That's just not in my nature, but that is clearly in his nature. And he thinks the roster at large responds to that.
It's great too when, it's coming from theoretically your best player, the guy that you're looking at to being one of the team's leading scorers this year. It feels different when it's coming from kind of the top down, I feel like. Looking at you talk about I think in your article, just the presence to push it up the court, but guys kind of going to their spots around the 3-point arc. You look at this roster outside of Yuganeh Onyensu, Silas Barksdale, and Carter Lang, everyone shoots about 35% or better from three. And you look at the stats, Odom's teams get up a ton of threes.
Yes.
Did you count how many you saw
No, I did not.
that day?
I confess I have failed you, and I did not count threes, but yes, that is one thing, Ryan Odom's teams, and there's plenty of data to look at over his time as a head coach. They have played really quickly. They have played slowly. But one thing they always do is they hoist it from beyond the arc. And I cannot imagine that this team will buck that trend.
Oh, especially with the efficiency that they have from some of these
Yes.
guys that have shot well throughout their careers. Last thing is just was it weird seeing a Virginia team work on offense in the summer, especially transition offense? Obviously, it's a big transition, but was there anything else that maybe you didn't get to touch on in the article, just that you thought was an interesting observation from your day there?
Not really. I mentioned Coach Odom's demeanor,
Mm-hmm.
and I didn't mention that in the article, mainly because it is such a small sample size, and
Yeah.
I imagine it will change during the season. But I can't stress enough, it's an unfinished product that I looked at because all the pieces aren't there,
Yeah.
and I'm re and I know all Virginia fans are too, but you're really eager to see the entire roster. How does it all form? And I think the coaches are too. They don't know. They can, they can project. And here's an observation that Ryan made that I didn't include. His brother is an NBA scout for the Utah Jazz. And the NBA employs all kinds of scouts, college level, pro level, to prepare for the draft and prepare for free agency and all the trades we see. And Ryan said, for the most part, when you're in the portal, you're recruiting guys you've never seen play in person. He said, who runs a business like that? Who, the NBA would never do it this way. The NFL would never do it this way. He said, it's so strange.
You think about any job interview, you got to go through like five or six rounds before maybe you even get an in-person interview. That's fascinating and a good perspective. David, thank you again for coming on. Again, go to the Virginia Pilot website, read his article, Inside UVA Basketball with Ryan Odom, his staff and team. It's kind of like you're there on the ground floor as they're building this massive building, and maybe we'll see what that skyscraper looks like come October.
We will, and I think it's a promising roster. I'll be very surprised if Virginia is not quite competitive in the ACC this season.
The pieces fit really well on paper, and that is something that I will say that as much as Evan Miakawa, kind of doubted, the built putting this roster together on the fly and like the chemistry aspect of it, he was like the pieces there look really good. They look like a top 25 level team, someone that can make some noise in March. So, David, thank you again. That'll do it for the Who's On podcast this week. We will see y'all next week. Have a good 4th of July weekend.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality. Which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.